Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my engineer producer, Mr. Tom Fairbanks, with me today on the other side of the glass. And together, we welcome you to this Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve, November 23rd, 2016. Tom, do you have your appetite ready for tomorrow? You're fasting today, right?
So far, I have been. Planning to, but I am.
That's good advice. Keep the calories down today so we can all indulge tomorrow. We're on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We have worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and of course on kvoi.com. And we invite you to join in the conversation, perhaps enhance our news talk today at 790-2040. That's the Buckmaster Show live line. And we begin today with the Buckmaster Show contributor on health, Dr. Victoria Mazes. Dr. Mazes is the executive director of the University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. She is a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. She is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine and is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She's the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health, and author of Be Fruitful, the Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her on her website, victoriamazesmd.com, or follow her on Twitter at Dr. Mazes. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
We talk a lot during the Thanksgiving week, obviously, about being thankful for many things and practicing gratitude, if only perhaps one day of the year. But I would like to talk certainly in the first segment about how we extend that feeling of gratitude, Dr. Mazes, to 365 days a year.
Yeah, so first of all, it's great that in our culture we have a day and a holiday that focuses on Thanksgiving, literally, and on gratitude. That helps us, having a milestone in the year where we practice being grateful is helpful, because indeed practicing strengthens the connections in our brain and makes it easier for us to do it 365 days of the year.
And we can all dig deep to find a couple of things, probably every day, to be thankful for, correct?
Correct. And indeed, that's one of the practices that's often recommended. It's recommended that you each day, and I know for myself, I do this at the end of the day before I go to sleep, but it doesn't have to be then. It could be whatever moment is best in your life. Each day, you come up with three things that you feel grateful for. The research recommends that you do three different things for a period of 3 weeks or 21 days, and at the end of that, you'll have come up with 64 things, and it will actually have a positive effect on your overall health. So that is one strategy. Writing it down and journaling it is very helpful for other people in terms of doing it. But even the words we pick, it turns out that people who are good at expressing gratitude sometimes use different words than the rest of us. They tend to say things like, I feel blessed, or I feel fortunate, or I'm so lucky. And so they actually have this vocabulary of gratefulness that expresses itself in their words.
Well, let's do three. Let's each do three. You go first.
Terrific. So that's another activity, which is modeling it. So if we want more grateful people around us in our lives, then modeling it can actually help and help other people behave similarly. So as I was thinking about coming on the show with you, I thought of three things. I'd say on the personal, I feel very fortunate that I'm going to be spending Thanksgiving with my children, my new son-in-law, some other extended family, and I'm really looking forward to that.
That's at the top of your list.
Yes. Okay. The second thing I'd say is that on the professional, I'm really grateful that you and I are able, through the vehicle of your radio show, to provide these health tips to people once a month, and I hope that they're of value to the people who hear them.
I like that one very much.
Then the third thing is I just want to express my deep appreciation for all of the people in our community who run and support the community organizations that help people who need some extra help this time of year.
All right. I'm going to put at the top of my list, I think this might be at the top of many people, their gratitude list, thankful for good health. I put that at the top because that's kind of the starter for a lot of people. If you've got the good health, other things happen. Good things can happen, certainly in your life. Number two, thankful for the love of those dear to me. That's my number two pick. And number three, thankful for a curious mind that thrives on learning and seeing new things. Of course, that includes some of my love of travel, as you very well know, Dr. Mazes.
Well, that's a fabulous list. So thank you for sharing it. And you and I have just done something that can help us in a variety of ways. First of all, we've done something that improves our health. It can make us have healthier relationships, actually, because saying thank you and showing appreciation of others clearly enhances relationships. There's evidence that people who are grateful are more likely to take care of their health, which was at the top of your list. Mm-hmm. People exercise more and actually are more attentive to getting checkups with their physicians. They're paying attention to their overall health. We know other things, like it improves empathy. It helps people sleep better. So there's a really wide range of effects in terms of our physical and emotional health.
I wonder if it might be a good idea to do the gratitude practice right before you go to bed. Maybe the three things you're grateful for that particular day, maybe that would kind of send you into dreamland, Dr. Mazes, with a smile on your face.
Well, I think that that's a great recommendation. A lot of us tend to watch news before we go to bed, and the news can be jarring. The news can be upsetting. And so this is in some ways the absolute converse, where you're focusing on the positive things that you're grateful for. And I think it certainly does send you off to sleep in a very different state.
Now, it is writing down the practice of actually making a list, is that perhaps helpful?
Well, the research does show and recommends that people write down three things each night for 3 weeks. And I think that whatever way we do our practice, it's going to be good. But there is a way in which if you do keep a gratitude journal, you get to remind yourself of the various things that have shown up, because they don't necessarily have to be huge, profound things. They could be small things, like you saw a beautiful hummingbird today hovering over some plant that you planted in your yard, or you're grateful for a coworker who did you a kind turn. So they don't necessarily have to be huge things. And recognizing and having this quality of noticing the good things that show up all the time is a really great way to have a happier life.
I wonder if you can kind of change your attitude. Many people tend to be on the negative side. Perhaps the election didn't go the way they wanted and they're feeling kind of down. I wonder if the gratitude of thanking the soul for some little things can make a difference.
So, as I said, there is evidence that this kind of gratitude practice can help people feel more alert, actually more alive, and even more awake to the world. There's evidence that people feel better, that they have less aches and pains, and that their sleep duration is better. And then there's evidence that in our social relationships, we're more generous, we're more helpful and compassionate, and we also feel less lonely and less isolated. That's an awful lot of positive coming from something that is free and doesn't take much time.
There's a quote, "Gratitude is wine for the soul, go on, get drunk. And I think that is attributed to the to Rumi. I think that's
yes,
how it's pronounced. R-U-M-I.
Quote. And Rumi was a Rumi. Sufi poet.
Yes.
And I actually have that quote on a website that I created where I talk about gratitude practices. So it's a lovely kind of drunkenness, huh? The drunkenness of gratitude.
Well, we're going to take a pause right here. We have a lot of gratitude today and in our heart and every day to the fine people, Dr. Mazes, who make our program possible. These are the sponsors of the program. We will hear from them, then we will come back with Dr. Victoria Mazes. If you would like to join in the conversation, 790-2040, right after this. The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We are joined on the Buckmaster Show live line once a month. She joins us on this program. We're very honored to have her. Dr. Victoria Mazes, the contributor to the Buckmaster Show on health. Dr. Mazes, the executive director of the University of Arizona Bay Center for Integrative Medicine, also a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. During our first segment, we were talking about gratitude, and I want to switch gears to something that was published in the New York Times, reporter Gina Colata asking the question, is genetics destiny when it comes to heart disease? And this is something that a lot of people wonder about. Can you ease the risk that have perhaps a predisposition toward heart disease, a genetic predisposition, by perhaps eating better and healthy habits, Dr. Mazes?
So the wonderful news is that reported in the New England Journal of Medicine on November 13th was an article that looked at 50 different genetic risk factors that have been identified and a genetic risk score, and then looked at four very large studies and four lifestyle factors. The lifestyle factors were not currently smoking, not being obese, which is defined with a body mass index, so you are under 30, being physically active at least once a week, so not a huge amount of activity, and a healthy dietary pattern. And that was described as increased amounts of fruit, nuts, vegetables, whole grains, fish, and dairy, so Mediterranean pattern, and less refined grains, so things made from flour like pretzels or chips or breads, and less processed meat and less sugar-sweetened beverages or trans fats. So they looked at these four healthy behaviors, they looked at the genetic risk factors, and they essentially found that people who followed three out of the four healthy behaviors could actually have their risk of having the heart disease that they were genetically destined, in a sense. In other words, your genes are not your destiny. You can alter the expression by altering your lifestyle.
And I wonder if this translates to other possible ailments, not just heart disease.
Well, I think we'll probably end up seeing studies like that. In this particular situation, we have to remember that heart disease is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. About 365,000 people die of heart disease each year in the U.S. And this study found that looking at 55,000 people being on the right side of lifestyle, not smoking, moderate exercise, and eating a healthy diet, even if you had the worst genetic profile, you could have your risk.
Yeah, and it's interesting. One of the researchers in this study is quoted as saying, you do have control over the problem, even if you have been dealt a bad genetic hand. I think that is an excellent way of summing up something. So many times we believe that the DNA is basically our destiny.
I think that's very true. And we're going to see more and more genetic testing, and we're going to learn more and more about genes that predispose us to a variety of things. That's both good and bad. It's good because as a physician, I can refine my recommendations to someone who is at an increased risk, for example, of breast cancer. We know about the BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes, which increase the risk in women and men, actually, for both breast cancer and in women alone for ovarian cancer. If you know someone has that gene, you can make very specific recommendations about their diet or about having children at a younger age or breastfeeding and know that you can reduce their risk. That's a good thing. On the other hand, when you find out as a person that you have one of the genetic risks, you get scared and you have a certain level of anxiety that's it, you're going to get breast cancer, for example. And I think it's important to realize that even with women who have this genetic pattern that predisposes them to have cancer, it's not 100% of women who get the cancer. It's, you know, between 60 and 70%, which is a lot. I'm not saying it's not a significant factor, but the point is that lifestyle can really reduce your risk. And that's, again, what we're finding in these studies, is that if you are exercising your control by relatively simple things, not smoking, exercising, as I said, only once a week in this particular study conferred the benefit, and then eating more vegetables and more fruits and more nuts and whole grains and fish, they could significantly reduce their risk. And the good news is, even if they were overweight, even though they, you know, losing weight is, as we know, quite hard, they still could have a very substantial reduction in risk by following those behaviors.
This genetic score was put together, I guess, based on 50 genes that are associated with heart disease.
Yeah, so you know, this is the kind of things that we're learning about, you know, we now know of these what we call SNPs, or single nucleotide polymorphisms, and there are 50 that are well accepted genomic risks for coronary artery disease or heart disease, and these are not typically done in most clinical practices, but there are some practices, some doctors who do this kind of testing. It's quite expensive. The poor man's test for this is, you know, if you have a father who died of heart disease in his 40s, you know you have a family risk, you
yes.
have a genetic risk.
Yes. Let's take a quick question on the
sure.
live line. I believe Ingrid has a question. Hello, Ingrid. Hi, Ingrid.
Good afternoon. I'm wondering if sometime in the future, if not today, you could talk about insurance companies' questionnaires. They ask a lot of questions about your family history and whether, you know, that determines whether or not they're going to accept you or what they'll charge you and so forth. If you can't talk about it now, maybe in the future, and if you can't in the future, I understand. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Ingrid.
Sure. It's a great question. You know, I think that this is one of the things that the Affordable Care Act really helped us with, which is that you could not be denied insurance because of a pre-existing condition.
Mm-hmm.
Genetic testing is essentially an extrapolation of a pre-existing condition. So, for example, if you had testing that showed you were at high risk of breast cancer with BRCA1 or 2 positive, then you might worry that insurers wouldn't want to cover you because they know that you have a high likelihood of developing breast cancer. And so they'd say, oh, no, that woman is too risky. We're not going to insure her. And that made people anxious. There are laws that you're not actually allowed to penalize people or discriminate against them because of some of this genetic testing. And I don't work for an insurance company, so I don't know how carefully they advocate, you know, and follow those laws. But the rules that make it illegal to eliminate someone because of a pre-existing condition, I think, are important rules for us to keep.
You know, genetic testing can be very, you mentioned, could be very expensive if you go in to do a full workup. And sometimes you may not want a full workup. There's been a lot of controversy about perhaps the Alzheimer's, the risk for
right.
Alzheimer's. Do you really want to know that?
Well, I think that's another very important point. Some of the earlier offers, like 23andMe, which was offering to do full genetic testing, you might discover that you had certain risks where there's no known way to present it. For example, a risk of Lou Gehrig's disease, we don't know how to prevent that. We actually do know that if you eat a Mediterranean diet, if you exercise regularly, if you manage your stress, you actually are at lower risk of developing Alzheimer's. So we have some ideas about ways to help prevent that in the general population. Of course, we're all at risk of that at some moment, and we should all be living that healthy lifestyle. But for some people, having the genetic information gives them that extra nudge and that extra motivation, and it's helpful. I think where it's not helpful is where we don't know what to advise you. And now you go from being a person who felt healthy and well to being someone who is anxious about the potential
right.
manifestation of a deadly disease.
Being around Thanksgiving, of course, everyone will be thinking about food. One word pops up, and I know it's not going to be popular, but moderation.
I'm gonna counter you on that one.
Go ahead.
I'm going to give your listeners a break. And I'm going to say that in every society, there have always been feasts. Days. And I think Thanksgiving is one of our feast days. So okay. Moderation is a great word, but if you overdo it a little, just do it only on the one day or maybe on the 2 or 3 days a year and don't overdo it every day. And enjoy your feasts with your families and with people who you love and think about all the things you're grateful for.
All right, Dr. Mazes. Our listeners heard it from the doctor. Enjoy your Thanksgiving and we thank you. We're certainly thankful for you, Dr. Mazes, and your contribution to this radio program over the years. I thank you very much. Have a happy Thanksgiving, please.
It's my pleasure, and I wish you the best holiday as well.
Thank you very much. Dr. Victoria Mazes with us on the Buckmaster Show. And people, we urge you, learn more about Dr. Mazes on her fine website, which is Victoria Mazes, that's MAIZESMD.com, and you can follow her on Twitter at Dr. Mazes. If you're looking for something to do this weekend, perhaps you've got a couple of days off. I'm going to spend part of my Friday over at Green Things. Green Things is a great place for the holidays. They have a huge collection of poinsettias, the biggest in town. So if you're looking to start decorating, and many people are, would love to have some poinsettias around the house, well, check out Green Things. You will not believe the variety of colors that they have, and they grow them right there on their 13-acre site at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Check out their website, greenthingsaz.com, and maybe I'll see you over there Friday at Green Things. We'll be right back.
Remodeling, restoring, or building new additions to your home?
Five Star has termite and pest solutions for you. Treatments to building materials can be performed while tradesmen continue to work. Worried about treatment marks? Don't be. Our treatments will be completed before texture and paint. Five Star will provide landscaping and drainage advice to eliminate moisture and other pests and termite attractions around the home.
Five Star Termite and Pest Control, protecting homes and homeowners since 1980. 886-0045.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at SOAZNewsX.com.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday after the Thanksgiving weekend holiday, our Monday Political Face-Off features commentators John Munger and Vince Robigo. Also, we'll talk with newly elected District 1 Congressman Tom O'Halloran. It's on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice, with worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Feels kind of like a Friday, maybe because Tom Fairbanks, my engineer producer, is normally with me on Friday, but he's with me on a Wednesday because Ray Allen is off enjoying his Thanksgiving. And of course, I should say that if you're listening Saturday afternoon, because this program is being repeated as Saturday afternoon at 4, your Thanksgiving is in the past. However, there are still those leftovers and certainly all the football games to watch. So anyway, let's go to the live line right now. So much to talk about. Serendipitous to have the Ward 2 Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham with us on the Buckmaster Show. Councilman, how are you?
Good afternoon, Bill. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, there's so much to talk about. Let's begin with, I thought we had the mayor on the program Friday. I thought it was pretty much a formality at yesterday's meeting that the Raytheon deal would be approved, but I guess it's been held off a little longer. Some more T's have to be crossed and I's, whatever.
Well, for the most part, it's done. I mean, both parties have acted in good faith. Both parties have wanted to be responsible for, but any deal like this can be complicated. Any deal like this can be, there's just so much detail that goes into it. You've got to take into account what's realistic about it and what isn't. You have to take into account that the deal is mutually beneficial. And I think both parties have been really responsible for that. I think we've got a great package, and I'm really glad to see that Raytheon has chosen Tucson and has chosen to invest in Tucson. We're going to have another 1,900 jobs here. We're going to have a considerable investment into Tucson, some $200 to $400 million over the next few years. And I think that's a great thing, and I want to commend the mayor's office and the manager's office. They truly led the way on this thing, and it's a win for Tucson.
So there's no concern at all about it. It should be a done deal here very soon.
I'll say this on the record.
Yeah.
I'll say on the record that for this deal to blow up between now and our next council meeting would be very, 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 very surprising. I put the percentages of that happening in the infinitesimal range.
Okay, that's good enough for me. Tucson employees are going to have a little more money to spend on Black Friday or this weekend or whenever before the holidays. They were awarded with a bonus, I guess, huh?
Well, first of all, one of the things about the bonus is that it doesn't carry over into new fiscal years.
Oh, okay.
So it didn't put our future budgets at risk. It's a one-time payout. Number two, all of our employees have taken a hit, whether their pension contribution or their medical coverage contribution every year for the last 5 years. In fact, it's safe to say after furloughs that their take-home pay has continually gone down or stayed the same over the last 6 years. There's a, you know, there are some promotions. There's some people who maybe their kids went off to college and no longer became dependents, whose take-home pay went up, but it's that's the minority of the group. For the most part, all of our employees experienced a hit in actual take-home pay. And this doesn't even come close to getting it back, but it does say to our employees, who we've gone from over 6,000 employees to under 5,000 employees, we, you know, 6,500 plus to 4,900 in the last 6 years, we're doing more with less. We needed to let our employees know how much we appreciate them. We got some great people working in the city of Tucson, and they deserve to be compensated at a rate that is competitive with other cities.
Can you remember a time when they were given a bonus like this? Is this rather unprecedented?
It's just different. I mean, it's just, instead, think of it this way, Bill. We could have just done a 50-cent raise, but then we would have been paying it the next year and the next year. And you know, 50 cents doesn't sound like a lot, but after taxes, that's an extra usually $36 to $35 per paycheck in your pocket. People need that money. So this time they get it all at once. It's a great holiday gift, and you know, a lot of private sector companies do Christmas bonuses or holiday bonuses, and I just thought this was a good way to handle it, and also it doesn't put our budget at risk for next year.
Yeah, let's go back to the Raytheon deal. The mayor said this is the biggest deal, not just Raytheon, when you combine it with what's going on over the last 10 months. He said it's the most important 10-month economic development period in Tucson since probably the end of World War II. Would you echo that?
Well, let's just say that our bottom in the last 10 months was 420,000 jobs, mm-hmm. 425 and change was, yep, our bottom, and our top is going to be north of 460. So you're talking about an 8 or 9% difference in 10 months. That is pretty amazing. The September November job numbers have not come out yet, or excuse me, the October November job numbers haven't come out yet. It'll be interesting to see what they say. I'd really like to see us get over that 460 number. At the lowest part of the Great Recession, we bottomed at about 419. So we were under 420,000 people employed in our metropolitan statistical area. If we get over 460, that would indicate, say we get like 463 or something, 461. 461 would indicate a 10% change in the number of people punching paychecks.
That's huge.
Yeah, so, it is. You know, it would get us back officially to the pinnacle of where we were pre-recession. I think we're already there, but, you know, you can dalliance with semantics on whether or not that's true, so I don't like to say things that aren't true. I know that's weird for some politicians, but that's kind of the thing. I mean, I like to just say these are what the numbers are.
Yeah.
And so I'd love to see us hit north of 460 in October. I think it's probably going to not happen till February, but we'll see. We'll see how it works. February and March are typically our strongest months, but we've had some real good Octobers. And remember, for all the listeners out there who kind of really want to get like the insider nuances of this stuff, on the months where there's five Fridays, your number gets a little bump. So if there's only four Fridays in a month, it's not as rosy as the five Friday months. So
all right. It's
just
still,
remember those things, and we'll see how those Bureau of Labor Statistics come out soon enough.
Let's go to Chuck. Chuck has been waiting very patiently at 790-2040. Chuck, you're with Councilman Cunningham.
Thank you. Councilman Cunningham, I live on the east side, so I have to travel on Broadway, you know, between Camino Seco and Harrison every day.
Sure.
And, you know, it's just destroying my car. And when is that road going to be? It's got to be at the top of the priority. That's a major thoroughfare.
Yes, absolutely. So that project has actually been pushed ahead by about 3 years. We were supposed to wait until the latter part of 2018 or 19 to even start. We've already finished most of the engineering. Right now we're waiting so we can begin moving utilities over. And then we're actually going to, instead of just resurfacing the road, Chuck, we're actually going to redo the entire road so it drains properly. One of the biggest problems with that road was that because of the sheet flow there, even if you resurfaced it, you'd get three rains, you'd just get a horrible condition again. And so we're actually going to redo the entire road. It's an RTA project, but it was originally, I want to say, a period four project, and we've actually moved it up to the tail end of period two. My office has worked really hard to make that a top priority, and I'm proud of the work we've done. It hasn't happened as fast as anybody would want, but it's definitely been moved up, and it's better than I expected that we'd be already this far along.
All right. When we come back with Councilman Cunningham, we'll be talking about perhaps a sales tax increase. There's actually could be two sales tax increases in calendar year 2017. But first, if you've got some time off this weekend, and many of us do, how about a road trip 3 hours east of Tucson to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico? What a beautiful portion of the Southwest United States. A lot to do over there, including Pinos Altos, a cute little mining town that has been revived and flourishing just north of Silver City. But it's just a great place to hang out. Check out southwestnewmexico.org, another one of our fine sponsors. We're so thankful for this Thanksgiving weekend and every day that they support the Buckmaster Show. We thank them very much. The full listing of places to stay, things to do at southwestnewmexico.org. It's exactly 12:45. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Currently, the city of Tucson and Pima County have texting while driving bans not allowed, although they differ on whether they are primary or secondary offenses. The city of Tucson is partnering now with Pima County, Oro Valley, and other jurisdictions to move forward with a measure to make it a driving infraction to physically use a cell phone without a hands-free accessory. Let's go to the live line. Caller Mark Spear is with us. Mark, you wanted to ask, I think, along those lines, something to do with that, and Councilman Paul Cunningham with us on the live line. Go ahead.
Right. I was going to just ask Paul if he's on board with this as a promoter, or if he's just analyzing it, or are we going to have, you know, some substantial public input before they go and do this?
Yeah, Mark, I mean, sure enough, as you know, when we talked about the red light cameras, you know me to be a very realistic guy with all this stuff. My gut tells me that having it be a primary offense, but allowing hands-free and basically encouraging people to use hands-free will enhance safety and will enhance driver safety. That's kind of the idea I'd like to have. But yes, there will be public hearings. We can talk about it. We're not going to just rush into it just to grab it.
Hey, and it does seem a bit extreme to have a no touching while driving, and I predicted all this, when it first was discussed.
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty important to do, man. I think that we have so many different distracted driving accidents around the country every year. And I also think if you look at some of the things that California has done, phasing in their distracted driving laws. But it seems to me that the biggest break and the biggest policy shift that affects the actual statistical change with fatalities, with distracted driving related accidents and all that is definitely with the hands-free device requirement.
All right. Hey, Mark, before you leave, Mark, before you leave, and of course, for those that don't know, Mark Spear pioneered or spearheaded the effort to get rid of the red light cameras. The poles are still up, right, around town? Yeah.
Yeah, they are still up, and we're going to ask them very nicely to take them down. There was even an letter to the editor from a kind of a middle-of-the-road genuine constituent in the city area here who's asked them to do it too. And if not, I am pursuing a complaint to the Federal Highway Administration for unnecessary equipment at the intersection. So it would be really nice if they just take them down and give us a Christmas present.
Okay.
And I hope that you consider naming Arizona American Traffic Solutions in that lawsuit, because they need to pay for taking those things down.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Good to hear from you. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Back now to the perhaps raising the sales tax. Well, that one's going to be for sure on the ballot, right, to help for roads, cops, firefighters?
My instincts tell me yes. The bottom line is that we have this list, it's overwhelming, of capital needs, new fire trucks, police cars, park improvements, road improvements. We have this list in the city that we continue to neglect because we live on shoestring budgets year to year to year. This sales tax would sunset after 5 years, but it would meet a lot of those capital needs. Now, on the other side, the optics are horrible. Right after we give this raise, it sounds like, oh, well, the city must be doing well enough to be able to cover these costs. Even if we didn't give this bonus this 1 year that we have it, it wouldn't even cover 1% of what our capital needs are. Even moreover, and probably more importantly, and this is where I actually do have some misgivings on the timing of this thing, is I'd really like to see how the change in the minimum wage, how the change in the minimum wage affects pricing, inflation, kind of what the job count is. I'm really concerned about whether or not that throws things a little catawampus, and all of a sudden, we really don't know what we're dealing with. So, you know, those are some of my misgivings. Again, I'm going to try to attend all the town halls and public hearings I can and really take to heart what people have as far as their input with this thing. But at the end of the day, if we want to have nice stuff, we have to invest in the community.
And, of course, then there's, some would say, complicating the matter. Strong Start Tucson, their proposal would be a half-cent sales tax. This would be on the November ballot to help 6,000 kids attend preschool.
Right, and again, I don't understand why we need $50 million to help 6,000 kids. What about the other 54,000 people in town? And why did we do first things first for the statewide ballot? Mm-hmm. So I don't know I'm actually not very excited about that situation right now. But that's a whole other discussion. We only have room for 1 half-cent sales tax in this city. And in my opinion, it needs to be either for the RTA later or it needs to be for the city capital needs plan. And that's basically because I'm a city councilman. Of course, that's what I'm going to advocate for. But everybody's cause is worthy, but those are my priorities right now.
And I hear the kids, you're at school, right?
Yes, I'm starting class in about 35 seconds.
All right. Can you stay with us for about two more minutes?
Yes, sure.
Oh, good. This just came across. I saw this news release before I came into the station. Your colleague, Councilwoman Rahina Romero, is calling on the council to commit to protecting immigrants under the Trump administration. Have you had a chance to see this?
I haven't seen the whole thing, so I don't really know about it. You telling me is all I know about it. I don't think I can comment intelligently about that right now.
Okay, this is something though that is going to come up before the council. So if you don't really know anything about it, we'll just move on. But basically,
I will say this though.
Yeah, please do.
The president-elect said some incendiary things regarding immigrants during the campaign, and so I totally understand the reaction to being worried about what the Trump administration is going to do. But we should temper action with wisdom and kind of. We need to see what they're really going to do first. I mean, I don't know if all of the things the president-elect, even he believed, said when he said them. So I think we've got a long road to go, but I'll definitely look at Ms. Romero's proposal and use my best judgment.
She would base this proposal, the direction would prohibit the Tucson Police Department collaboration with federal authorities if and when attempts are made to implement nationwide deportation initiatives. So that's what that is. Before we let you go, what will be the big issue of 2017? Do you think it's going to be this sales tax? And is that going to be what the focus is going to be?
I think it'll be this. I think that'll be part of it, but it'll always be business development and balancing the budget and making responsible decisions. And that's, you know, it's boring to affect you, but those are the important things that a city government needs to do.
Now, have you heard any more about these? I keep hearing about perhaps several thousand very high-paying jobs still in the pipeline. I know you don't want to make any kind of firm comment on it, but because you know it's bad luck, right?
Well, I don't want to jinx us.
Yeah.
There's two different things, and then there's a third one that's kind of like the outlier that nobody really. I don't even. It's kind of like believing. It's like believing some guy's random Twitter quote, and that, you know. So we'll see what happens, but
right.
I think we should have at least one more announcement in the next 6 months.
Okay, great. I'm going to let you go. I want to wish you and your family, your father and the whole family, the Cunninghams, a wonderful Thanksgiving. Really appreciate our conversation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bill. Have a great day.
Thanks a lot. Paul Cunningham with us, Ward 2. Democrat in the Tucson City Council. And the kids, of course, all excited. They're all hyped up for Thanksgiving. Those were the voices you heard in the background, because Councilman Cunningham's day job is being a teacher. All right. It is a few hours before Thanksgiving, and this gives me a great opportunity to thank, really, I normally do this on Friday, Tom, but since we're going to have best of programs on Thanksgiving and Friday, I do want to thank everybody that is associated here with the Buckmaster Show, which is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for its content. We have a great team here at KVOI, starting with the owners of the radio station, Doug and Mary Martin. My fine producers during the week, Ray Allen, Tom Fairbanks, Ed Alexander does a great job as well. Jerry Cross, our production ace, Alicia and Elsa and Rhonda up front in the front office. Thank you very much for all of your support to the Buckmaster Show. And, of course, Rosemary Brandt. She's been with me since we began the radio project, which will be coming up 6-year anniversary on January 3rd of next year. So 6 years into the project. Thank you to everyone. Hope you all have a great holiday weekend.